This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Tuesday Takeover with Dave Hill on FUBAR Radio.
Oh my gosh, that went incredibly well. I hit that intro. Hit it out of the park. Hello and welcome. I guess it is Dave Hill's podcasting incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. For example, earlier today at Gatwick Airport, a man offered me a lozenge in the toilets. He said it was a lozenge. Am I saying that right? Lozenge. I haven't slept it since the 80s. Anyway, but I'm really excited. I'm here in London today recording Dave Hill's podcasting incident right here at FUBAR Radio. I'm going to take some water. I think the entire show is going to be me basically battling health issues. I'm perfectly healthy and no one has to be concerned. But in the last 24 hours, I woke up in Milwaukee yesterday. That's in Wisconsin. It's where Happy Days. No, yeah. Wait, Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley were set in Milwaukee. And then because I had to fly back to New York to fly to London. But for whatever reason, whoever booked the ticket decided to route me through Atlanta, which I was really grateful for because that's not even slightly on the way. And anyway, I hope to tell. I should save this story for my memoirs when I'm 80 years old. But before we get into all that, joining me, I don't know if you can hear his air of it, yeah, I would say it's equal parts calm and menace. Mark Mayer.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me. You've joined me here live in studio before when we've done the goddamn Dave Hill show.
Yes,
but this
I have.
Show could not possibly be more different. You won't recognize it at all as being similar to the. Actually, it's just both shows, just me rambling until it's time to stop.
Okay.
You would think that I would latch on to some format where I, you know, hey, let's see what's going on in the news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those things that would get me like a drive time show. Can you hear my mouth sounds?
I can hear the noises coming, the words
it's
coming out
words
of my mouth.
Words coming out not, of my out of no sounds extra, out of my head.
There's no extraneous clicking or whirring or.
Because what I am just, you know, when you haven't slept in like 48 hours and your senses start to.
Do you feel a little bit sort of out of body, Dave? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're here, but you're not here. You might be saying these words, but you might not be saying these
like
words.
Like I'm watching this.
Yes, you're watching yourself.
Because, I tried to take a nap. Earlier, I was taking a nap over in Islington. That's one of the neighborhoods here in town.
Mm. Thank you for not saying Islington.
No, who would do that?
I don't know. The same person would probably say lozenge, not lozenger.
It's lozenger?
Well, it might be.
I'm trying
to mess with your fatigued head. Which isn't nice. I've got no idea. Lozenge.
Isn't that not what you call them here?
What worried me was that he offered to you in a toilet.
Well, yeah.
Could he not have waited till you're outside of the toilet?
I always think that, you know, when I'm approached in toilets, and that's what, for my American listeners, that's what we call over here on this side of the pond. In America, it's bathroom or restroom.
Hmm. Because in America, toilet would be actually, you'd be physically in the toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct?
So it sounds crazy. If you were saying, if you were in the toilet, it would sound like you were standing
splashing.
In the porcelain bowl.
Yeah.
So it sounds, even though you guys, when I say you guys, I mean all of Great Britain.
Yeah, thank you. I like to represent everyone.
Are more sophisticated, for the most part, than Americans.
If we were standing in the toilet, we would have a cup of tea with us.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the British way.
Yeah. Oh, it's lozenge. Yeah, it's we're getting Natalie here has the sweetened medicated tablet is spelled lozenge, L-O-Z-E-N-G-E, and pronounced lozenge.
You were right.
In standard English. Though now, when I say it out loud. However, the Oxford English Dictionary says a variant spelling, lozenger, is present in the U.S. and Northern England.
Maybe it's people...
There we have it.
People from the city of Lozenge are called Lozengers.
Is there...
No, it's not.
Not to plug my new book that's out October 8th, mm-hmm. all over the world, and you can pre-order it now.
Thank you.
Parking the Moose. I'm begging everyone everywhere. But in the book is about my travel. And I'm not using this as a segue to talk about my book, Mark. I want to talk about you.
Thank you.
But the whole time I was in... The book is about my travels through Canada. And so many towns there, like Halifax, Nova Scotia, I thought they would be called Halifaxians. They're called Haligonians.
That's wrong.
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, I thought Moose Jawians.
Moose Jawians.
They're Moose Javians. Or wow. Javians or Javians. I don't know. But there's a V, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And it goes on from there. Winnipeg, people from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Winnipegians?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Winnipeggers.
Oh, that's wrong.
That's totally wrong. So anyway, but enough about that. Let's focus as much as I ever do. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. I'm very well.
What's been going on with you? I haven't seen you in it's always too long.
It is.
Even when it's been recent, it's not. It's never soon enough.
I feel that way too, Dave. I enjoy your company. I enjoy you sleeping.
Likewise.
On my floor.
I know. Yeah.
Even when you don't want to. That's the particular joke.
I know. Sometimes I'm like,
kicking,
but there's a bed right there. Wouldn't that be okay? And
no,
you're like, no.
That would be as interesting an anecdote.
No. The stories. Yeah, it's all for the stories.
I entered a competition, Dave. That's my only big news, which was a comedy.
Oh, I'd like to hear about
competition,
that.
Competition for comedians up and down the country. And about
comedians here in England.
Yes. Correct.
Uh-huh.
And I made it to the final. I don't want to drag the story out, so let's cut to the chase. I won.
You won?
I won with my 10 minutes of comedy gold.
That seems unbelievable to me.
Thank you.
No, I kid. Well, you're hilarious.
Yeah, you're speaking on behalf of all listeners.
No, you're hilarious, so there's no... you're a hilarious
I'm
man.
Very dry.
You're a handsome man.
Thank you.
I think that's why we get along.
Yeah.
Very dry. Sometimes... I'm told the audience often doesn't get my jokes until the drive home. Hmm. Sometimes weeks later. Okay. They're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Winnipegians.
Winnipegians. What was the name of the contest? Just so we can get verification.
Famous, well, people can Google it. Petworth, a little place in, I believe in Sussex, a little village. And they decided every year to Petworth Fringe Festival.
Beautiful this time of year.
It's gorgeous, particularly nice for pets. They ran this competition, and it was lots of fun, and it was nice because you had to be 10 minutes. If you went over, you'd be out of the competition.
Really?
Mm.
What if you went under?
You'd be also.
I don't want to think about it.
But the nature of comedy competitions isn't great, is it, Dave?
No, I mean I'm generally against. Yeah. Unless I win, and then I'm like, well, that's a good contest. Yeah, if I win, anything that chooses me, though at the same time, I was just thinking about this because I was reading something on the internet, on Instagram, I think. There was like some movie and it was like, there's going to be screenings and afterwards there's going to be panels moderated by, and then it's a list of like 5 people I know, or most of them I know. And then my first reaction was, well, why wasn't I asked to do this? Like, I'm not as good as them, I guess. And no one asked me to. And then I thought about it, and I was like, well, no, I do get asked to do things like that all the time. And had I been asked, I would have immediately thought, what kind of shitty movie is this that they asked me?
Yeah.
You so know.
It's the not being asked.
Yeah. It's as my therapist says, it's the Groucho Marx. You don't want to be a member of a club that would have you
as a member.
But I'm working on all that. We're going to go to a song. I'm getting notes here. I don't know if this is a bad sign, like things are going poorly. I don't think it's a reflection on you.
I personally think that we've immediately, instantly, under some pressure, being on FUBAR Radio, have bonded and have a great rapport. So I think a song can only interrupt this joyous banter.
I've selected some music hastily and randomly.
Is that the name of the band?
Hastily and randomly. Well, we were just talking about the Smoke Fairies because Catherine from Smoke Fairies often joins me here.
Not today.
She cannot today for reasons I can't even get into.
I think she was asked to be on a panel that you weren't invited to be
probably.
On.
That's exactly what it is.
Callback.
So I'll play some Smoke Fairies just to spite her. That'll show her. Do I have to hit a certain button or do I just hit play? Let's try hitting play. See where that gets me. It worked. Smoke Fairies, We've Seen Birds. I think I've played that show, that song, more times than Stairway to Heaven in life or something. Not that I've... Anyway, let's keep moving. I'm sorry, I haven't slept in a couple days. Your mic is on.
Oh, I can see. I'm intrigued. Why haven't you been sleeping?
I should give you a proper intro.
Well, you should really, because I've dressed for the occasion. Not that any asshole can see me. I mean, what was the reason I did this? Mark is literally eyeball fucking me right now. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Sorry about that. There we go.
Your eyeballs are wearing condoms.
Who can blame them?
They should. The diseases you could get, darling, just from staring, let me tell you.
Joining me, if you have, I'm Mark Mayer.
Hello.
Petworth Comedy Festival
Fringe
winner.
Fringe Festival winner.
I don't know, I said Winnever. That's, but winner.
Because you were thinking of Winnipeg earlier and in your mind merged.
Exactly. You're the best at comedy.
I'm number one.
Well, of the people on the contest, because seated right next to you is Ed Knight, whose new show, Jokes of Love and Hate, begins at the Pleasance Pleasance beside.
Yeah.
July 31st through August 25th at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about that more shortly. And then going around the horn, the first voice you heard, at, I guess besides mine, when, after we came back from the song, was Baby Lame.
That's right.
Who, where do I start? I saw you get on the elevator when I walked in the building, and I thought, please let this have something to do with me.
I'm here for just you, darling.
Thank you.
No one else, just you.
You're bringing a tremendous amount of heat. you have green, like fluorescent green patent leather pumps, are they?
They're kind of, yeah.
Like
Stacked heels.
Stacked heel.
Mm. I'm wearing lots of color, everybody, for those of you that can't see me. It's beautiful. It's literally, Mark is still staring at me. Take it all in, baby.
Yeah,
take
it's
it
all a lot.
In.
You're bringing
Do you know
a
just
lot.
Just what people need in London, just after Pride Week, another fucking drag queen. Well, I'm here for your visual. Not for your visual. Your what do you call it when people listen to you? Is it?
Oral pleasure.
Your oral pleasure. That's why I'm here, everybody.
And A-U-R-A-L.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Aura, yeah.
See where the night takes us.
I'm
whatever.
Next to you.
Yeah.
We can go there if
We're
you want.
We're here.
Yeah.
We're here.
Here to stay.
You also have leather biker sort of gloves on too.
Yeah.
I like that you have a softer side and then a harder side.
Yeah. Probably. We all have that, don't we? I just like to visualize it.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like the yin and the yang and all that. And then you've brought beer with you.
I brought
which is
beer
a nice
for us.
Touch.
Are we going to crack one open?
Sure.
Nothing
why not?
Works better than on live radio than drinking beer for the
people.
Listeners.
Love it. People
yeah,
love
it. Yeah, let's crack one open. Open it up, honey. Be, do something.
Probably the first thing.
Opener.
Oh.
Oh,
I have like a whole.
We were just discussing. They're not really chilled, but in the summer you don't really drink chilled beer anyway.
Oh,
do you go out?
Okay. Are you gonna have one?
Yeah, I definitely want
I'll
one.
I'll send them
on.
Around. The,
yeah.
Wait, these are probably twist off, aren't they? No.
No, pop it off.
I'll send
like
it
around
the
beer,
morning.
Everybody. What's this one called? Indian. I've drank so much of this shit, literally. The whole week, last week, I've just been drinking this stuff.
Yeah.
So all of the different flavors. It's delicious, everybody.
Are you sponsored by this company?
I should be.
Oh, man.
No, I am actually working for them for an event.
Thank you
so much. Take one, darling.
Wait, am I right? There's a beer festival, baby? Is that
That's
right?
correct. Yes, it's the Lagunitas Beer Festival,
well,
which
you.
Is happening and this Saturday at the Flatiron Square by London Bridge. And it's just, have you heard about it before?
Is that kind of near where the big market is?
Yeah, by the Borough Market.
Borough
There's
market.
Like an area there.
Wait, when does this start?
It's starting
Saturday.
This Saturday.
This
You're
Saturday.
Leaving Sunday, so you...
This Saturday.
But
remember,
this
we're live, everyone, so it's
right,
this Saturday.
This Saturday, so I'll be gone. But, oh boy, if I were here, I would be there.
Well, do you like the circus? What are your memories of going to the circus? Tell me.
I was cornered by a clown... I don't want to get into it. I like a nice circus.
Yeah? Nice circus.
No, I like a wayward circus.
Okay.
One where not everyone's going to get out alive.
One where the trapeze artists have a shitload of beer and will just fall off at the start.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so depressed, aren't they, in those circuses? You know the ones that we had when we were little? I look at this one because he's about my age. He's older than us, just say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Did
you have like the animals at your circus? Like the elephants?
Yeah,
and
I think they stopped that in America. No more animals.
Mm.
Or like no more, I don't know where they draw it. Maybe dogs can just still do it because they.
Well, you see, that's why what we're doing with this circus, no children are allowed, which is the best thing ever.
I love that.
You
in
add
all scenarios.
If there's one group of people that the circus is not for, it's for children.
Yeah.
I actually think that's a true statement. They
really?
Are ungrateful when they watch it, the children.
Fuck.
They just want to. Fuck the children.
No, fuck. No, that's the wrong way to.
Yeah, that's definitely the wrong thing to say. But yeah.
Well, plus we got to stay on brand. We got to stay.
The official position of Lagunitas IPA is fuck the children.
Oh, yeah. But listen, this circus, though.
Strike that.
We have
record.
Replaced the children. We have replaced the animals. And we have brought the freaks into this. We
Good.
Have some amazingly weird, wonderful, wacky acts that are happening. There's someone that hangs weights from their eyelids.
I'm in. Oh. I'm listening.
They walk around literally with their eyeballs.
Then do their their eyelids sag all
just
the time?
Just sagging all the way down, and you just see their eyeball exposed. You know, yeah. You
know, oh, the bottom one. Yeah, what's the big deal?
When you mix it with live music, you get free beer.
No, it sounds...
God, you're criticizing my event.
I'm in. I'm all in.
Right, when you said the eyes were like sort of drooping, yeah. You know when like a cartoon character sees like a big pie that looks really nice and their eyes come out and go really long?
Oh, like a ooga.
Yeah, like...
That would be good. Maybe for the one next year we could do that.
I have follow-up questions. With the weights hanging on the... eyelids. Do their eyelids hang weirdly all the time?
Yeah, I guess so. I think there's a little bit of elasticity in it, but essentially it's a bit of a droop going on. Yeah,
but 100%
but that's the price you pay
imagine.
For being a sideshow freak. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. Wait, so where are you from?
Your dreams.
This is true. You're not wrong.
Don't try to find out who I am. I'm a fictional.
No, I'm not going to try to. No. But it. In my sleep deprived state, yes. It took me up until a few sentences ago to be like, "Wait, you're not from England."
That's correct.
You're probably.
I've been around though.
You've been around. Oh, I don't doubt that.
I think it's all a sham, and I think Baby Lane's actually from Birmingham. Hello, all right.
Birmingham, yes.
The Paris of the Midlands.
Hello, give me the circus.
All right.
See, pretending not to be able to do the accent.
Oh, you got me. You got me. Damn you.
See, that was the eyeballs staring at us.
Well, there are actually 19 Birminghams in North America, so one of those could be the case. 19 times more like...
There's 19 Birminghams?
There's 21 Birminghams. 19 of them are in North America, and one is a crater on the moon. Oh, and the other one is obviously a crater in the Midlands.
Where did you come armed with this information?
Is that in your show?
It should be.
It should
right?
be. All
right,
it should be a section. Right.
That's going to be my show for Birminghams. Edinburgh. Next one, 21 Birminghams.
To go.
Yeah.
And that's a solid crew tribute out.
Wait, so how do you have that information at the ready? That seems weird to me.
Loss of free time and loss of a CBD flower that I bought off the internet.
CBD flower?
Yeah, it's like weed, but with like all the THC bred out.
So it just
like smoking a long.
Oh, so you don't bake with it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it makes you sort of like want to lie down and like just sort of go down a Wikipedia hole. It makes it a lot easier to do that. And then now I know how many Birminghams there are.
Oh wow! And where are you from originally?
South London.
Oh, whereabouts?
Streatham. SW16.
Oh, that's like proper south, isn't it?
Yeah. South, the nether realms.
That's the.
Do you still live there?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they call it, David? They want to make it posh. They call it St. Aretham. Mm.
St. what?
St. Aretham. They abbreviate Streatham for St. St. Aretham.
It started getting gentrified. St. Aretham? Yeah.
It's a wordplay.
That sounds like St. Aretham, like the sideshow guy injured his St. Aretham. You know, doing. You know what I'm saying? No, let's keep moving.
Sure. It's a bit like, well, in North
it
London.
It seems like something. You know,
Saint-Aretham. In North
like
London,
your
they have
perineum.
They have Crouch End, which I used to live in, and I hated the name because it sounded like a disease, Crouch End. So we called it Crouchon. Crouchon sounds exotic.
I like Crouch End. That's a night out to me.
You've got some
not
medical
the place,
condition.
But the like medical
I
condition.
I find like Saint-Aretham is the kind of like no, that's from there calls it that.
Yeah, it's like hated.
It's like a fun joke that all the people who have like. Opened coffee shops replacing all the locally owned amenities. I think is like a fun thing to say.
You don't like my coffee?
I feel like I'm being a bit of a boner on this, a boner kill on this show now.
No,
I love it.
Straight 18 Birmingham, St. Rita.
19 in North America, okay. 18 in the States. Oh, used to be 21.
Used to live the rain, man.
Yeah, but you're not fucking regret getting on this radio show now. Oh, Billy Birmingham's over here.
You blew it
with a great chair.
Billy mesmerized.
Let's focus though. We need to focus.
Okay. Yeah.
If you guys don't promote, I want you guys to feel the full Dave Hill effect.
Okay. Yeah.
Of when you come on my show and talk about what you're doing, and then it sells out and basically. It's this career-making move coming here, as you can imagine. Let's start with you, Ed.
Hi.
Is this your... How many... Have you done The Fringe before?
Yeah,
it's
my third hour.
Third?
Yeah.
That's bonkers to me. Like...
Yeah?
In America... Well, like, here in the UK, like, it seems like everyone cranks out a new hour every year.
Yeah.
In America, like, most comedians will never get to 1 hour in their entire career.
Well, yeah, it's an interest. I was at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and I talked to a lot of American comics about it. I think just because the expectations are slightly different. Like, this is my third hour, not just my third hour, my third hour in 3 consecutive years.
That's amazing.
Which is, but it's not the same as, like, American comics will hone the same hour of gags, I've found,
for a long time
to make it super duper tight, whereas that expectation doesn't exist for, like, Edinburgh, where it's, like, expected to, like, it's not expected to be of the quality of a Netflix special or an hour that a veteran American comic would do. And it's supposed to have, like, narrative elements and stuff as well. There's that kind of expectation, which means it's not just an hour of the tightest possible gags you can.
Oh, so
work,
you can just,
you know,
fuck around.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Just kidding.
Mate, as long as I say something that sort of, like, old reviewers seem like might be relatable to young people, I can pretty much get away with doing anything. It's great. Like, I can talk about Birmingham's for 55 minutes and then just sort of do
don't
two
do
minute
that,
speech
that
about climate
that's
change.
Don't do that, because that's going to step on the toes of my show, 21 Birmingham's.
Oh, sorry.
To go,
yeah.
Next year.
Okay.
That I'm going to do.
Maybe yours could be like a sequel. Like,
sequel.
To my show.
Maybe. Would you consider a collaboration, or is that
I was going to say, split the Birminghams.
No, I mean, we could sort of be individual creators in, like, the Birmingham cinematic universe.
I'm in.
Great.
This starts July 31st. Mm-hmm. It's coming fast and hard.
Mm-hmm.
August 25th.
Yep.
9:45 p.m. That's like perfect
comedy time, right?
People are just hammered. Come in hammered.
Please don't be hammered for my show.
No. Get your shit together and go see Ed Knight. Jokes of Love and Hate. And nice. I'm gonna try. I've had Lagunitas quite a bit.
Yeah.
For some would say too much, if that's possible.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Drink it.
It's nice.
What does it taste like? Do any of you know anything about beer?
It's kind of malty, kind of taste. I'm just trying to read the
label. It's delicious. Yeah. It's it reminds me of good times and lasting memories with friends new and old. It's an India Pale Ale, which is, with this particular one, though I know there's various Lagunitas beers. I always like to say, if you can't find a Lagunitas flavor or style that suits your needs, I guess you don't like beer. I guess you don't like life. I'm honing that slogan, and when I nail the slogan, they'll
take you.
They'll probably take me on. I'm just trying to put it out there that I'm willing.
Yeah, go for it.
I do love it, though. A lot of times people will be like, it's not. Have you had any Lagunitas today? It's how many have you had today? That's the question I usually get.
I hear you. But this is your first one, is it?
It's my first today because I was flying and I fell asleep on the plane and I missed the drink service. Otherwise, I would have said, you know what I want. I'm Dave Hill. Get me a Lagunitas.
And they'll go, oh, you're Dave Hill from the Lagunitas radio show.
I'm getting nothing out of this other than, I assume, whatever Lagunitas is left over, I'll put it in my bag and take it.
Yeah, you take it all. Yeah. If we don't drink it all. Already.
No, but we should.
But there's going to be plenty more beer at the circus.
This coming Saturday.
Yes. Good.
Did you like that?
Seamless segues from the drag queen here.
I gave you, like, what's that called in basketball?
Was that a lift up? Oh.
Slam dunk.
Yeah, and he slam dunked it. And this is the Lagunitas Beer Circus returns to the UK Saturday, July 20th. That's just 11 days before Ed Knight's show in Edinburgh.
You've got 11 days to get from London to Scotland.
To recover, basically. Because trust me, there's so much delicious beer, you're going to need it.
If you want tickets to the Lagunitas Beer Circus when it returns to the UK, go to...
Well, you know what? There's an Eventbrite link, people, but just Google it. Go to any of our socials. You'll find it. Because I can't memorize it, because it would just be www.eventbrite.com.
No. Go to streetvet.co.uk.
No, that's the charity it's giving money to. Well, so not only with this event do you get free beer on entrance, not only do you get world-class freak show acts, live music, it is also donating some of your money to charity.
Okay,
what else is there? Is your show doing any of those things?
No.
It's
No, but to me, like, to be fair,
but do you have your own artistic integrity? Probably.
Absolutely not.
Oh, you don't? Okay,
no,
fair enough.
No, fuck no. My whole show is just an hour-long show for Lagunitas as well, except I get all the money.
Not Street Vet.
Well, I'll let you take an extra Lagunitas before
you
go.
Much.
I'm getting... They want me to go to a break, I think, because they can tell I've started hitting the Lagunitas, and I might lash out at somebody.
Okay, yeah. Wow, that took a turn, didn't it?
No, yeah, I'm a loose cannon, and I need another Lagunitas. Ladies and gentlemen, please go see Ed Knight, Jokes of Love and Hate, at the Pleasance in Edinburgh, July 31st through August 25th, 9:45 p.m., I would say see it several times if you can.
Yeah, please do.
I would love to come.
Thank you.
I really, really want to come and see you talk about Birmingham.
Just
21
to the
Birminghams.
Yeah.
The 21 Birminghams. Yeah.
I'd like to come to it.
And
thank you. That's two audience members.
Will we come together? No,
yes.
You're still unsure.
Well, why change the habit of a lifetime?
Yeah.
And then Saturday, July 20th, go to Lagunitas Beer Circus. It's going to be incredible. There's free beer, freaks.
Yep. I'm doing makeovers as well.
Oh.
So if you want
talk about bearing the lead.
Yes, I'm literally going to transform people with
why the fuck didn't you say that earlier?
You didn't ask me.
Don't start on me.
Oh, he's lashing out now.
I'm
everybody,
here looking
right?
like
hold back,
hell.
Hold back, Dave.
This is the side of Lagunitas.
I can come back another time
and
give you a makeover if you
I
want.
I need
if
it. I mean, come on. I mean, I look incredible.
You
but
do look incredible, but I
could.
Kind
this
of
is
love
just
to
walking around,
color.
Dave. Too. This isn't even Showtime, Dave.
Where'd you get that shirt from? I like that shirt.
What's that?
Where's that shirt from?
A store by my house. I would say the name, but I got.
You know,
kicked,
you know when people are really smug about their clothes and they're like, "You can't get in anymore."
No,
it was on sale 10 years ago.
That's me.
That's what
that's 100%.
It's this store called Saturdays NYC in New York. But I used to bring my dog in there all the time. And then one day they were like, "You can't bring your dog in," and I was like, "Can't bring my dog in. Can't bring Dave in." Never went back. But I do
is
like
Dave
the shirt.
Is Dave still alive?
Dave's right here.
The dog, I mean.
Oh, the dog.
Oh, that's
the dog.
Lucy.
Is Lucy alive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
She's adorable.
Is she unbarred from the shop now? Does she have like a little Polaroid photo of her behind the counter that says,
I haven't tried. I was so upset because it's a package deal. If you don't let my dog in, I'm not coming in either.
Uh-huh.
That's why I want to move here.
Yeah.
Bring my
dog
everywhere.
Dog. Friendly clothes shops.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta go. We gotta go to a break, and thank you guys for coming.
Thank you,
Baby Lame, Ed Knight.
Thanks, Dave.
And Mark Mayer, you're gonna stay here with me.
I hope my friend Matt will be here soon.
We'll see. Don't.
Who knows?
Talk about teasing. I think he is. Let's.
I know he is.
I'm gonna play a song. I think, or am I? If there's anyone that could screw that up, here we go. Let's try it again. Oh, yeah. That's the stuff. Thanks, guys.
All right, cheers.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, that was the dentist. Sir, the dentist with I Had an Excellent Dream. Another Stone Cold jam I picked at random. Well, not random, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm Dave Hill. This is Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, a special Tuesday takeover here at FUBAR Radio, and also broadcasting all over the world, everywhere, in every corner of... We got
humanity.
Free beer.
It's great.
Beer is awesome.
Is, Dave, really, is 6.2%, is that like a lot?
It is?
Oh, that's what it says. I mean, is that... I don't know, because I don't know beers. Is that like a lot? Is that like serious? Is that like...
I think... You drink beer. What do you mean you don't know beers?
I don't know.
You drink beer all the time.
I know, but relative.
In my experience with you.
Relative to a 5 point.
It's more. Yeah, I mean, that's just math.
That's math.
That's how numbers work.
Yeah, sorry.
6.2 is pretty up there.
That's getting there, right?
That's like more than Stella.
So if you had two of these beers, you wouldn't drive.
Definitely not. I'd probably say after one.
I would argue.
Oh, wow.
Well, it depends on your morals, really.
Yeah, I would argue don't drink any and drive. Okay. I mean, but that's just, you know.
That's the kind of guy
I'm
you
just
are.
Just trying to be a positive role model.
Thank you.
Also, drive. That's the terms of my parole. I have to say that. But I'm joined by Kelly Convey.
Yes, hi.
You have a new show, Telephone Voice.
I do.
At Pleasance Theatre, Pleasance Bunker One, and at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yes, sir.
Starting July 31st.
Yeah, it's like not even that far away now.
It's coming.
It's kind of, starting to shit myself. Ooh. Just a little bit.
And I'm going to introduce you in a second, Matt. But you raised an interesting point. And Mark, everyone can weigh in on this. We're also joined by artist and graphic designer and so much and lifelong Witch Taint fan, Matt Cooper. But I want to. You mentioned shitting your pants, and I'm grateful for that, Kelly, because when I first started doing, like my first hour long comedy show, I became paranoid, thinking that I would probably shit my pants at some point during that hour.
Yeah. Well, physically.
Yeah. Like literally. Yeah. Like I would forget to.
Clench
my butthole.
And but I you then called the show I May Shit My Pants, didn't you? Which kind of covered that.
Yeah, literally. But my question...
Clever move.
My question, I pose it to all three of you. Have you ever had an irrational concern of Kelly and Mark, as performers, do you ever irrational fears of maybe not shitting your pants, but something else that's... not very realistic. And Matt, I pose that to you, just everyday life in front of the Mac, in front of the drawing board. Do you ever think you're going to shit your pants?
Well, yes.
Okay. not in the way that, like, because we've all been there where we're like, I think I might actually shit my pants. I'm saying, like, before, like, 3 o'clock the day of the show, do you have any panic that something crazy might happen?
Yeah. I think the unknown of a show is that you're going in there and you have a certain percentage of control over what happens because you've it's your show, you've written it and you know what you're doing. But anything can happen, you know. I've been in a show where a lady has been sick in the front row.
Like how?
Like threw up.
Puked
everywhere.
That in some countries is the highest form of praise. Yeah,
that's what she said. but I don't know. I think there's all these factors that you try and control, but there are other ones like shitting yourself because, you know, I don't think anyone's ever done that on purpose.
No, I beg...
Mark may have done.
Well, there's been a lot of talk of Birmingham. Ironically, in a show in Birmingham a few weeks back, I didn't feel great before, like three nights of shows in Birmingham. I had a little lie down before the show, got up and threw up, but also then had the horrible stomach kind of churning thing, and went to the gig thinking I could physically shit myself on stage.
Was that at the Glee Club?
Yes, correct. And I thought, this is not good. 20 minutes focusing on gags and keeping a tight sphincter.
And so you... Oh, wow. I actually had food poisoning at Edinburgh 1 year.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I thought... I was doing a short run of shows, so... But I was just like, the show must go on. And I was literally just all sorts of horrible things happening all day for a couple of days. And then I would go do the show, and I would go back to my flat and commence with, and then I would watch Netflix or whatever.
So you just shit yourself all day, do the show for an hour, and then come back and continue.
Keep
to
shitting.
Shoot. So you try and get as much out.
Yeah, I looked great.
I bet.
I looked great.
You smelled terrible.
Yeah. The first few rows, not.
I have
please.
A close to shitting myself story.
Please.
3 years ago or so, I got the chance to work with the Divine Comedy, who are a huge fan of. I'd seen them multiple times in concert. And Neil Hannon, the main guy from Divine Comedy, lives in Ireland, only had a few days that he was in London and could meet me. But this coincided with me having a terrible stomach upset. So eventually we just had to have this meeting. And so I'm sat there with, you know, it's a bit of a hero of mine, really. And I'm sat next to him the entire 2 hours we were together to talk about our project, basically with my buttocks clenched, trying not to shit myself. And then this year I've worked with him again on his new album. And I thought, it's time to fess up.
I told him. He'll love this.
And luckily he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think it brings totally people together, a nice pants shitting.
Well, I think that it's like one of the most natural things in the world and one of the most things that we're really, really, like, stupidly embarrassed about. Speaking as a woman, and I hate saying as a woman, but I've always had that with partners where I just try and imagine that they don't know that I go to the poo. So I imagine that men have no idea that women actually go to the toilet, and I'd hide it from them. And I went out, he's now my fiancé, so it's fine, but we went away on our first trip away together, and I was really worried that if staying in a hotel, how would I go to the toilet? So I basically held it in for 3 days. And by the third day...
This is recently?
It's a couple of years ago. But by the end of the third day, I had the worst tummy ache, and we were checking out from the hotel, and I was just there, and it was just my stomach was so sore. And then I just couldn't clench anymore, and I ran to the loo, and then he came in and knocked on the door and was like, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm fine." He was like, "Babe, just come to the door. I know what." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "You've shit yourself, haven't you?" And I was like, no, I've never pooed in my life. And he was all like, it's on reception floor.
You really it's on the reception floor?
I sharted through my leggings.
Fully busted you.
Oh, my God.
Full on sharted myself onto the floor.
If you're just tuning in.
This show is sponsored by Hilton.
In the reception of the hotel, you shit on the floor of the reception?
Yeah. Do you know what? He bought me a new pair of underwear and trousers, and he cleaned it up.
Oh, that's a. I give him. I give him. Hang on.
I don't deserve it.
This guy is a keeper.
He is. I love him so much.
That's the most romantic. That is. Also, but extra points though for cleaning it up in the lobby.
Yeah, so no one else would see it.
Well, he handled it. He's a gentleman.
He is a gentleman.
Because a lot of people would have been like, "Not my problem. It's already out of her butt."
Yeah.
You know, not him.
Yeah, out of her butt and out of my life.
Yeah,
Move on.
Yeah, but he's got that permanent hold over you now, hasn't he, Kelly?
He has.
You know, any argument, any row, any fallout 10 years down the line. Yeah, at least don't shit myself on the hotel. In lobby floor, we haven't quite got to that angry
stage yet, but I definitely know that's that it. One day it's going to come out of his arsenal.
That's what they call asshole here.
Like
one of his power moves will be shitting his pants.
Like bringing up the eye.
Oh, okay. I apologize because one of my possible guests is doesn't know where he's going. So I'm multitasking, which is why I rudely wasn't entirely sure of the context.
That's totally fine. I mean, I would probably prefer to just move on and plug my show and make my bumhole.
And we will as soon as everybody takes a turn telling a pants shitting story. Mark Mayer.
I'm clean.
All right.
Oh, come on.
No, I told you, Mark.
You must have shit your pants.
I'll tell a quick story. As people have been following my career from the very beginning are well aware, I think I've told this story before on, if not this show, other shows. It's not like a story I dine out on and tell all the time, but I have said it out loud. I was in this band years ago, and we got, I guess they would be called kebabs here, like gyros, euros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kebabs.
And we got... it was five of us in the band, some guy that was with us, and some woman that was with us, and it was like 2 a.m. It was in Chicago. We got kebabs, and I was wearing these like silver pants that were not, if you were going to shit your pants, they were not the pair to be wearing. I was waiting to get back in the van, and we were on this quiet side street, and then I was like, oh, this is not a sexy story, really, but I think I need to fart. Uh-huh. And then I shit everywhere, and I just was like, oh, my God, I screamed. And then everyone's like, what? And then I realized, I was like, if I let them know what's happened, they'll use it against me forever.
Yeah. So they were good friends, for as long close as friends.
We were, like, very antagonistic. I was like, they can't know what's just happened. So, they're like, what? What's the matter? And I was like, oh, I just remembered something. I was just reminding myself to do something. And they're like, oh, okay. And we get in the van, and then the guy driving, Chaz, was like, why don't we just eat the kebabs here rather than keep going? So I'm just sitting there covered in my own shit. But this is why I believe in God. 7 people open the kebabs. And, like, the smell of, like, spiced lamb meat and onions and all this stuff overpowers my shitty pants.
Your soiled pants.
Yeah. So no one knew. And then they were, like, I was kneeling, like, eating, because I was, like, I just have to eat this and act like everything's fine. But I was kneeling because I couldn't sit on the bench in the van. And they're like, why are you kneeling? And I was like, oh, it's just easier this way to eat it kneeling and use the bench as a table for my kebab. And they're like, okay. And then we went back to the hotel, and I just ran in ahead of everybody, checked in before anyone was even out of the van, went into the bathroom, the toilet, and took off all my clothes and threw them in the tub.
Yeah. My shitting my pants, actual shitting my pants story.
I knew we'd get it out of you.
Yeah.
After eating a kebab.
Oh, well, yeah.
So I think that may be...
That would make sense.
I would say most people's are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think...
Brought on the condition,
Dave,
shall we
personally,
say.
I'm sick of these highbrow radio shows.
I know. People are like, oh, Dave, you don't relate to people. It's always this, you know, what's going on at the Tate Modern or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Forget that. Let's talk about pants shitting.
I could... What's what unites us as...
Human beings.
Yes,
human
beings. We all have that in common.
You know, here we are.
We've all shat our pants.
Yeah.
A bunch of successful, fancy people who shit our pants constantly. Best as I can tell.
I've left out.
Once a week at least.
Yeah, once a week. I went on tour. I don't know if you know Mike Watt from the Minutemen. He's a punk rock. You know Mike Watt.
Yeah.
So,
he knows everyone.
I was on a tour with him in the same band that I was in. And, I knew of 4 times that he shit his pants on the tour. I knew of 4. So I'm thinking, how many other...
One tour.
Right. Yeah, because he kept, like, a blog, and I just started reading the blog.
Shit blog.
And I was like, he's documented shitting his pants 4 times.
Log blog.
Let's put it in print blog. Is quite the statement.
He's not shy.
Oh.
But let's focus. We got a plug. Kelly Convey, Telephone Voice is the show.
Yes.
July 31st through the whole festival, through August 25th.
I'm up there the whole month. It's my debut.
This is your first one?
Yeah, this is my debut album.
But you've been up there before?
Yeah, I've done like compilations and like under the radar stuff, but this is my first.
Guns blazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're walking in. They're just
where are you performing, Kelly?
I'm at the Pleasance.
Oh,
yes.
Prestige.
Yeah, so Bunker One at the Pleasance, 7:15. I'm excited. I am super excited, but it's kind of that first moment where I'm going to get like reviewed and everyone just watching me, and
good
just
thing.
It's exciting. It is really exciting, but I just I think in the lead up to it, it's quite daunting. I think,
yeah.
Because I'm still quite. I've only been doing comedy for 3 years, so I'm still a little baby. But I'm
that's
excited.
Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I in America we don't really we don't really have hecklers in every single show. I mean, they're not at every show here, but way more than in America.
Really? That's surprising. I would have thought
you'd maybe do like in the mainstream clubs you would get them, but in the sort of shows like the Fringe, like you would not get hecklers in that scenario ever. And so the first time I did the Fringe, Brendan Burns, do you know him?
Yeah, yeah. Who's just given up stand-up?
He's
made an announcement.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I have to ask him about this. I didn't know that. But he was like, get ready for the hecklers. And I was like, oh, there's people don't heckle me. I've never had hecklers. It'll be fine. And he's like, no, just wait for it. And then, so I went through a few days, no hecklers. Some reviews came out that were really nice, and I was super psyched, not to brag. Mark, I got great reviews.
I wrote most.
But, and then that first big weekend, it was like, I spent 20 minutes of every show just battling hecklers. And then I talked to Brennan. He was like, that's why they came, because they saw the review, and that's what they do, is they see the good review, and they're like, let's ruin that show. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he told me.
Oh, that sounds pretty mean.
I'm not sure how true. Knock him down thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, take him down a peg.
Yeah.
Wow, well, I hope I get some really shit reviews in the first couple of days.
You won't. Now, what is this show... You were a Chav from Chatham.
Yeah. Do you know what that translates as?
It means like sort of I guess in America, people might say I don't talk like this, but people might say white trash or something.
Yeah, I suppose that's
that's not right.
Oh, I suppose that's the kind of mediated sense of like what is seen as a chav in this country is sort of, have you ever seen Little Britain? You've got Vicky Pollard with the, you know, the big hair on top of her head and big gold earrings and stuff like that. Well, that image actually originated from where I'm from in Chatham.
Oh,
so,
good for you.
So I was like part of that creation of the chavs. And it's like anything, when you look back, do you actually know that you are that when at the time, or only retrospectively when you look back, do you realise? And it was just kind of, I was just a bit of a tearaway, a bit of a naughty girl, a bit of an attention seeker. And then I went, and then I moved to London, and then I realised that, because if you come from like one bubble, you just think that is the norm and that is what's really cool. And then I moved to London and I looked like this white trash in inverted commas. And I realised that actually outside of Chatham, it wasn't that cool. And people were laughing at us, you know. And so.
But I guess white trash is, that's not quite right. What's the.
I think that's the connotation with it.
It's more like sort of suburban, like sort of not sophisticated, cosmopolitan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's...
But you seem great.
Thank you.
No, I feel like whatever you've done, transform yourself, you've hit it out of the park.
Well, I think that's the whole point of the show, is actually to show that in a mediated sense, the chav is actually really quite a bad thing. But it really isn't. Like, it's not.
No.
It's not. And I think that you can take these subgroups and make them what you want in the media. But actually, it's a celebration of being working class. It's a celebration of my roots and saying that actually that is, you know, why I'm here today. And that's what made me who I am.
Yeah.
Made the strongest part of me is kind of, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So it's a celebration of being working class and sort of being true to your roots and where you come from.
Well, everyone, go see Kelly Convey, Telephone Voice, July 31st to August 25th. Not August 12th. I don't know what you have going on then, but it must be important.
It's. I didn't even know I had a day off until they put the tickets out, and I was like,
okay.
They
always do a day off.
Yeah, everyone gets a day off.
Oh, yeah, you got to give yourself a day off, a day to focus
to
just on drinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not
Probably to drink Lagunitas.
Oh, Lagunitas.
Yes. It's like the sponsor.
Oh, man, right? I gotta get on board with that. I gotta get a brand on my side. We need to take a quick break. I believe, do we have a hempolics? Am I saying that right? Hempolics? Or is it hempaholics? Hempolics. That's what we need to say...
Goodbye.
Are you? Wait, you guys have a monitor too?
No.
You can't read my monitor. But Kelly, thank you so much for coming.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. A beautiful sunny day like this, it's lovely to be inside.
Be indoors, yes.
Drinking cold beers lovely company and great conversation.
Feel free to take one for the road.
You know what? I might do that. Sit on the train.
Matt, did you want to?
I'm happy with water.
No, don't do that. Oh, there's one there.
Delicious. Lagunitas beer. Pick it up.
Lagunitas.
Oh, there's the song. I'm going to play the song. I think I can do it. You'd be surprised what I'm capable of if I just focused on how stuff works.
He's getting there.
What's happening?
Press the button.
You're looking at the computer like my dad does.
Press the button.
Like a
got a phone.
Oh, here, wait. This one? Oh boy. You'd think I would get the hang of something at some point in my life. Oh yeah. There we go. Oh. Oh yeah.
I like the concrete jungle in my new home. Makes me stand up. The midnight school, you keep me talking. I'll find the time just to retrace my thoughts. I can rewrite, say, fast clapping style. What am I to do? Say, fast clapping style. What am I to do? To do, to do, say. For water, used to want change, I cannot offer. I like a lotus child, easy and free. Is there some water, some here for me? Said, boss, clapping style, what am I to do? Change in my age, taking me over.
it's total bullshit. That was Hempolyx. That was not total bullshit. There were, wait, I'm sorry, you guys. What? I had the track right in front of me, and it vanished. What is that called?
Boss Clock My Style.
Cut My Style?
Boss Clock Me Style.
Boss Clock Me Style.
Yeah, so like the boss is perving at you sort of thing, you know?
Okay, this is Gripper from Hempolyx. Boss Clock Me Style?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get down?
Clocked, you know, yeah. Clocking someone.
Clock. Yeah, like clock them, yeah.
Yeah. So the boss was clocking a style at work all the time.
And Nubia, the singer.
Yeah, yeah. She came in the studio and she was like, oh my God, I just had another day with his eyes looking at me. And then I just went, let's write a song called Boss Clock My Style. And then that was it. We wrote the track together.
It's a great track. And I have never heard that phrase. I'm going to start using it all. Boss Clock Me Style. I'm sorry to sound like someone's dad. Like, I don't know. I just want to...
Well, you know, you're American. You don't know.
I know,
English,
I don't know. I mean, English I could have figured it out. I could have figured it out, but you guys are here, so I can ask you directly. Exactly. So yeah. I should do that, you know?
Yeah.
Why not? You guys are great. And this, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I'm in my reggae phase.
I've heard about it. Yeah, we heard.
Yeah, you heard about
just
it.
Never.
No, what's it's been reggae, going on.
What, you're smoking weed now, then?
I'm Trojan Records. I'm all in.
Your Trojan Records.
Do you know that label, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course
we do.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I know. You just looked at me like, of course, you fucking idiot.
No, I didn't know.
Jay, didn't you dreadlock your chest hair?
Did you?
I did a couple. Yeah, I don't. I'm afraid
that's
to show.
Such skills. That's amazing.
No, but Instagram. I decided like, and you guys play. If I can go off of Boss Clock Me Style. Which arguably is, at this point is my favorite Hempolyx song.
Yeah. Amazing. Though
we will get into more, but my reggae phase, because like there's, as you know, there's great reggae, there's good reggae, and then there's reggae that you need to get away from as quickly as possible.
Like all
styles of music.
Yeah.
Like. In America, like, there might be, like, a street fair on a Sunday, and there'd be a reggae band setting up, and, like, statistically speaking, you're like, better get away from this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah,
not,
yeah,
not
yeah.
going to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be.
Wait,
quite.
Speak more into the microphone,
Nubia. I think in the 90s, there's, like, a lot of the major labels definitely tried to commercialize reggae more so, and created a lot of cheese, basically, and
yeah.
A lot of bands kind of went downhill.
But you guys play the reggae that I like is reggae like where bad stuff is. It's about when bad stuff's happening. Someone's gonna get killed. Someone's getting clocked at work. A lesser crime, but still negative.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of reggae that I'm into. Okay, is about like chronicling bad stuff and turning it, you know, getting a release out of it, being like. You know, this guy's dead. This she's getting clocked at work. Yeah. We should kill. No,
who died in the album? Who died?
Huh? Someone died on your album?
I don't know. That's what you're saying.
No. I'm just saying.
So you're not
like
saying the musical content. You're saying the.
Speak more into the mic.
You're saying the lyrical content is what's important, not the actual music. So if you talk
about
how to poach eggs on a reggae song, that wouldn't be as good.
I like minor key. Reggae, I like it to be kind of have that that feel. You know what I'm?
I know what
Gripper
say.
Knows
power.
What I'm talking.
What
why is it Gripper the only? Why is he the only one I can talk to?
I don't know. You know.
No. And Nubia, these guys. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Do you know what? There's. I think that like when you travel to a lot of different reggae festivals as well. Like I totally hear what you're saying. It can be very clinical and people are saying the same
Babylon.
Rhythms. And it's fair enough how people want to express their like. You know, passions and their lyricism, but it does get boring. And
yeah,
I mean.
Just be like, I'm not here to have a good time. I want to get into it. It's not fun in the sun music for me.
Yeah.
It's like we gotta hide a body fast.
Yeah.
That's the reggae that I want, and that's what I feel like you guys are delivering.
You need to. You need to go to University of Dublin, King's Cross. It's once a month with Abashanti. I mean, it's so loud. But reggae is really... Oh, for, you know, you listen to reggae on a big sound system. That's what
you got to.
I'd say that's definitely like mostly steppers kind of stuff and.
Steppers. Well, now, what is that? I know what that means, of course, but for Matt and Mark, who have no idea what you just
said. Hello. Could you explain steppers to us? Do you know what steppers means, Matt?
I don't.
Me neither.
Well, do you know what? You should
I'm not friends with these
really
guys,
funny.
By the way.
You
We're
totally
not friends.
Are. Don't like.
That's the album.
Do you know,
oh,
it's,
awesome.
It's
Is that to do with dubstep?
It's not.
No.
I'd say that you could argue that in some way they were relative, just in terms of how like things came on the scene. So like a lot of venues I remember going to were like, there used to be this wicked club called Cable in London Bridge, and they had like loads of sound systems there, and that'd be like Iration Steppers from Leeds, who are a really big sound system, and then like Abashanti and. Yeah, a mixture of people, and then Mungo's Hi-Fi, and then there would be the dubstep DJs like Koki and Benga, Mala, all the Digital Mystics lot, basically. So they were relative in terms of like the scene moved together. Dubstep, which I feel like wasn't translated very well in America, was truly the evolutionary like next step of dub in terms of it being this very minimal electronic format that did sound like have a dub influence, and then people like I feel like Skrillex and stuff like that happened and stuff like that, and it just became really screechy, kind of like almost like Coachella and like Spring Break music in
a
weird way.
Fuck that,
it was weird. But Steppers is kind of like very militant fall to the floor beat. It's all
there's
digital.
So many genres in reggae, it's just hundreds,
you know. A lot of people think it's just that that reggae
off
thing.
From listening to Motown, didn't it? Really?
Yeah.
American music. That's what I love the most. Like most groups, I missed out on. Like, you know, I really liked. I feel like because Bob Marley happened, it kind of washed out a lot of the other artists that came before him as well. I was really into Carlton and the Shoes. I thought that they had like the best singers that I'd ever heard. Like it was three guys. Are they brothers? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three Girls and Brothers. Beautiful album, Love Me Forever. That's truly one of the greatest reggae albums I've ever heard. And that's in like the early 60s.
Yeah.
But that's phenomenal. And I really love, I think, obviously
Studio
in England,
one.
Dennis Bevel's like the godfather of like dub.
British.
Yeah, definitely.
Dub.
Yeah. Any good tune that came out in the 70s, I feel here, Dennis was there doing it.
And what?
And Kwesi Johnson, for example, like, you know, they met. With Linton was doing an interview, was interviewing Dennis Bevel. I think this is how it happened on the grapevine. And then they ended up just working together. And he's, you know, for me, he's just like the king of like punk dub poetry. Like, I always wish that him and John Cooper Clarke did something together, because that would have just been like insane.
Forget it.
Like, just unbelievable, totally.
I don't know who those people are, but I do believe it would have been great.
He was the punk poet. Toured with, like, Joy Division and stuff.
No, I know who they are. I know who they are. I was just testing Mark.
Did you ever hear Michael Smith as well?
Yeah.
I bet I have. Let's see. No, why am I doing this to myself?
He was another, would you call him a dub poet? Or?
I
just remember listening to John Peel, and he used to play it all the time. You can't believe it.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah. Do you guys like? Do you like John Holt? Do you know John Holt?
Yeah, I love John Holt.
Oh, this is the song that kicked off my reggae phase that I'm still in.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Wait, where is? Oh shoot. You would think that I would know how to work stuff, but I don't.
I feel like I want to get you a string vest for like Carnival.
I will go if you let me know.
You should go, definitely.
End of August. I think it serves at Alibaba.
Do you know this song? Alibaba, yeah.
But wasn't this a
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have headphones on. Wait,
no.
Or is it on playing in the room?
Yeah.
I have headphones on. I don't understand how stuff works very well.
it's a beautiful tune.
It's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh man. Now, Matt Cooper, are you a big reggae fan?
I used to go to the Onu Sound System quite a lot. And
Sherwood.
Yeah, African Head Charge.
Yeah, I loved African Head Charge.
Singers and Players and people like that.
Yeah, that album.
I just remember going to Yulu on Mallet Street several times to see African Head Charge, and getting in, and they'd come on stage, and then the gig would be over, and I'd have no memory of anything that had happened at the gig, but just knowing that it had been absolutely amazing. And then
he's like, "You look like a bit of an old punk as well."
Yeah.
See, look, England, the punks loved the reggae. This is what happened over here. You know?
Well, Dennis Gravelle produced the Slits album.
Culturally, it was
just against the system. It's downtown music.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, when punk started, there weren't any punk records. They used to play the reggae records. Yeah. Mm. Don Letts and people of Don Letts played at the Roxy, didn't he? He was the DJ there.
Yeah, so we had a game once where Don Letts. We played at Band on the Wall in Manchester, which is a great venue. And he was DJing, and me and Craig, the drummer in the group, we were every time Don Letts mentioned the Roxy, we would have a shot. We were absolutely wankered.
Every
time he mentioned a story about
that's
the Roxy,
a good drinking
we had a
game.
We had a shot.
What you're saying, he mentions it loads, are you?
He's so joke.
He rinses it.
He played such a good set, but so many songs had these anecdotes. Him and Rodigan are quite similar in that way. They have anecdotes when they're playing certain songs or whatever. But yeah,
I'm that way about pants shitting stories. That's a callback to earlier in the show. That was a delightful joke for anyone who was here before you. This makes no sense. Did you guys know, before I forget, just something I remembered, that Carlton and the Shoes were originally called Carlton and His Shades, but a printer's mistake on their debut release led to the Shoes name sticking.
Really?
Yeah, just something I remembered while sitting here.
Yeah, just
not.
You're a legend.
In my reggae
encyclopedic way, the knowledge you have is almost Google-esque.
It's so weird. It's like a form of autism. Yeah. It's I just go, ugh. Carlton and the Shoes, do you know? And but your album, you also have a great album, The Hempolics, Kiss, Cuddle, and Torture, which is
Alien One.
Which is what?
It was a game I played in school, in junior school. We used to run around after each other, grab a boy, you chase the girls, and then it was the turn for the girls to chase the boys, and then you grab each other. This is a North Yorkshire thing, by the way. And we grabbed each other and we went, kiss, cuddle, or torture, and if they were horrible, ugly, nasty, you go torture, but if you fancied them, you go kiss, please.
I want all three at once.
Kiss, cuddle, and torture is life to me.
It is.
Pretty much covers my marriage.
And it's torture.
Without the kiss and cuddle bit.
We've
finished volume two now, Dave. That's going to be ready in it's ready.
So this is the first album.
That's the first volume, yeah. We're going to do three or four.
Oh, this is Kiss, Cuddle, and Torture volume one?
Yeah.
I love it.
And we're doing three. That's the red album. The next album's the gold album, and then we're going to do a green album.
On the vinyls we released the LPs, it was
red.
The first one's red, the next one's gold.
Oh, nice! And the other one would be green.
Yeah.
For the third color.
And then a dub album and a black dub.
The three colors.
Yeah, the three colors out there today that we all know about.
Just so it looks good in your little, your showcase.
I love the artwork. Who did the artwork?
Some Mexican guys, actually. These guys we met from Mexico.
They're in Mexico?
Yes, they do all this Zapatista stuff. They're rebels in Mexico. Graffiti artists. Sort of cool guys.
I love
it. Omar and Dante. Yeah, they're great. So, we've got a good... The next artwork we've just been doing is really good. It's, it's the old miners, these old 1950s miners flags from up north, these Durham and Darlington miners.
Oh, beautiful.
When they used to go off on the walks, and I've sort of got that idea, nicked that, and then I'm putting us on the flags and hempolicking it up. That's my next idea for the album.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then when are you guys playing live next?
Ziggy Marley's the next show we're doing with him. We're supporting Ziggy Marley in Cornwall in 13 days' time.
Well, after that show, I predict Ziggy Marley will be supporting you guys.
Yeah, Ziggy.
Take that, Ziggy. I'm tired of your bullshit. He's had it too good for too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Where have you come from,
Pass
Ziggy?
Pass the banton.
Yeah.
Going on about
that'll
Roxy.
Be good.
He has that song, Tomorrow People.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow People, yeah, where... I remember he came and played at my college. Mm. Not to brag, but he did.
Yeah. What college back did you in the 80s, was that?
Back in the 80s? I'll stab you. Keep that up. Keep it up.
Hey.
Back in the 80s, this fucker.
What college did you go to?
Fordham University in the Bronx, in New York.
My dad's from the Bronx. My real dad. Oh, that sounded awful. Politics. Yes, my real dad is from the Bronx. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I went to my grandma's old street, recent Anderson Avenue, overlooks the Yankees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was there recently.
So, were you born in the States?
No, I'm a dual nationality though. So you know.
So am I.
Oh really?
Wait, you're part American too?
My mom's from America. Yeah. From White Plains, just out of New York.
That's cool.
That's why I'm part American. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, wow. We all
went
here.
I went to Cat's Deli, and I could have sat there all day just listening to people's voices. I was just like...
Oh, yeah. That's not far from my house.
I totally loved it, yeah. I was staying in Park Slope.
Oh, yeah.
Which I learned is really swanky now, isn't it?
It is now, yeah.
What's the amazing walk you can do right around New York?
The High Line?
That's
the popular one now.
Is that very touristy?
Yeah. I mean, it's still nice.
Yeah,
I don't do it.
Like
I don't. I'm too cool to do it myself.
Yeah.
But I live right by that. I actually live close to that.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time, man. I love New York. It's an amazing place.
You guys should come play New York.
I would love that.
I'd love to.
In a minute, I would like totally do that.
How many other people are in the band?
Six. There's six of us all together, but we can do it with me and like.
That was my next question. You got to figure out who are you going to cut loose?
Cut out, yeah.
Exactly.
Who can you leave behind?
Six ways. No thanks.
I say I just turn up with a drum and
yeah.
Some of the like buttons. To
just
press.
Laptop.
Exactly, yeah. We'll
hey, Gripper, oh, you can't make it? No problem.
Have you heard of The Frighteners from New York? The Frighteners, the band?
No.
Check them out.
On
okay.
Daptones?
The lead singer.
I know the Daptones,
the lead
sure.
singer actually passed away. When he was recording the album, he was actually dying of cancer.
Oh.
So, and he's just this, he's a white guy from the Bronx, and his voice is just unbelievable. And it was his last sort of little testament before he died. And
wow, The
Frighteners. Recorded this album with these Frighteners. Yeah, it's an amazing album.
Yeah,
check it out. You will love it as
he
well.
He kind of reminds me of like Alton Ellis a little bit.
Sitting in the background when you're having your dinner.
Of who?
Alton Ellis.
Uh-huh.
Who's like
so got this great
one of my
sound.
Favorite singers as well. Like he did, you know, Black Man's World, like I Was Born a Loser. And he did, what did he do? You know, I'm Still in Love with You, Girl. He did that and loads of good tunes. I heard that like a friend of mine, Blue's uncle, my fella's uncle, he played at his like university leaving thing and he seemed totally unbothered about it. I would have lost my mind if he was playing. It was amazing. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, he played at the uni thing, just didn't care.
That's how it goes.
Gripper, you were talking about your latest album cover. This is a complete non sequitur, but only vicariously. I'm very proud of my friend Matt, who has made some of the iconic album covers of all time. Is that a bit of an overclaim?
Who's your mate, Matt?
We were going to get to that.
This gentleman next to me.
Oh, you make album covers, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He does Arctic Monkeys,
really
Noel
don't
Gallagher.
Don't nick my miner's idea.
Don't nick his miner.
Don't nick my
Franz
miner's
Ferdinand?
Idea.
Yeah.
Franz Ferdinand?
Have you met my PR here?
Yeah. Well, I thought it might be worth mentioning.
I know.
And when we talked about you shitting your pants.
We were
going
to... No, we were going to get to the album covers.
We weren't, Dave.
No, we were. We were.
We bloody well weren't.
We were. We have, I think,
let's
like...
Let's talk about me.
We have, like, 40 minutes. There was going to be... A, seven of that was going to be dedicated to that the subject of Matt's album covers.
He's giving me money in order to...
So how long have you been doing it for, then? Designing album covers?
God, 25, 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, done. 25
how many have
years.
You done?
Oh, loads. Loads.
Like,
you're finished.
I feel like I've made. Did you do something with Talking Heads?
No.
Why did I think that you did that?
No.
Are you friends with David Byrne too?
I've met him briefly.
I met him.
I didn't. I met him like I played a gig at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in the South Bank, and he booked us for that, and it was like mainly kind of like this other group that I was in. It was kind of like jazz and African influenced music. Well, the band from France did that, and then yeah, we did like more of a jazz set. But it was good.
You guys do jazz also?
No, not we.
Oh, no, the group that you play
with. I do,
with.
Yeah.
You're not
I
in
do.
Noriko, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm only in the Hempolyx nowadays.
Well, that's that. If you're going to be in one band, Hempolyx.
It has to be. Yeah,
I would join the Hempolyx.
Yeah.
Do you know the movie The Wanderers? What?
Yeah.
Set in the Bronx. My whole band is just. I love The Wanderers so much. It's my favourite ever film ever. Have you heard of The Warriors?
Yeah.
That's rubbish compared to The Wanderers.
Strong words.
Yeah,
I
that's bold.
I feel like they're different vibes, it's a different story. The Wanderers is kind of like the white American version of like rockers. Like, not a lot of stuff happens, but loads of things happen. Oh, it's not a strong storyline.
Have you seen
the one
where they just think about stuff? The Ponderers?
The Ponderers, yeah.
The Ponderers?
Pondering around.
That's more my speed, maybe. We should, let's
cleaning the launderers. I'll stop now.
Jesus. God, cut please. Him off.
Please, can you punch me?
Do we have another song locked and loaded here? We don't.
I just see panic in the other
There's
room.
There's panic.
As you said that.
I thought we had another one locked and loaded.
I could tell that in her interview for this job, she had to say, I'm really good under stressful situations.
As you probably picked up on, I'm not the slickest DJ out there today. There's others that have their shit together more than I. I'm not even a DJ. I wandered in. What am I, a host?
He's a wanderer.
A celebrity?
He's a wanderer. You flew in from Michigan. What
international superstar? Don't laugh at that. Asshole.
I do beg your pardon.
All right, let's play a song, though, and we're going to take a quick break. I want to thank... I've been calling you Gripper.
That's it, yeah.
Like we're in court or something, but it's Grippa.
Grippa.
Grippa. Yeah. And Nubia, which I hit out of the park right away.
Yeah, well done. It's spelled the American way as well.
What's that?
The way that my name's spelled is like the American way of spelling it as well.
What isn't...
There
Which
we
means
go.
Nothing to anyone. So.
No, but now we know.
Yeah. It means nothing to me. Forget it.
We're gonna take a quick break. Hempolyx, everyone get Kiss, Cuddle, and Torture, Volume 1.
And 2.
And 2. And 3, when it's ready.
When it's ready.
It's when it drops, as the kids say.
I'm supporting Ziggy somewhere or other.
Yeah, in Cornwall. 14th.
Yeah, definitely.
When
look out
that?
For our shows.
Well, 24th.
Excellent.
A week next Thursday.
Let's play. We'll play Alibaba since that's all of our favorite song.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
And on that note,
amazing.
Dream last night was about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, the piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through a valley with a princess by my side. The Duke and the Duchess was there to meet me with a smile. Alice was there in Wonderland, staring far away. The three blind mice was there with me to tell the teddy bear the tale. The teddy bear came smiling there with a big smile. The little Bo Peep has lost her sheep last night. Dream last night about Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, the piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through the valley with a princess by my side. The Duke and the Duchess did a reggae, reggae, reggae last night. About Alibaba with the 40 thieves. Tom, the piper's son, he was there with me. I rode through the valley with the princess by my side.
did the reggae reggae last night with the princess, my bride. The Duke and the Duchess was there with me to meet me with a smile. Alice was there in a wonderland, staring far away. I did the reggae 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 last night. Ooh yeah.
I've got you where I want you.
Hold up! He's out!
Oh! You never knew I was a rock. That's why you tried.
What's that?
Do I have to keep
I should turn your microphone on. That wouldn't kill me, would it? Why is this show so slick? A lot of people ask. I'm Dave Hill. This is Dave Hill's podcasting incident, doing a special Tuesday takeover on FUBAR Radio, and it'll be unleashed, you know, on the rest of the world other days. But I'm joined now by Ian Smith, who has Anoush. Ian, oh, you got water. You got water. Your microphone's on.
Oh, good.
So feel free.
Yep.
You have a new show called Half-Life at Underbelly Buttercup at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, July 31st through August 25th at 5:15. That's the sweet spot. People are not in a blackout yet.
Yeah.
You can get the show over with and drink yourself silly.
Yeah.
It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I think.
But lots of people are performing then. So
a lot of competition. But you know what? If you're not going to see Ian Smith at 5:15 at the Underbelly, go fuck yourself. That's what I. Where my head's at with this one. So, and I'm also joined by Mr. Harry Deansway, the love of my life. No, I like to think of him as an itch I don't mind scratching. For how long? We've known each other for about 11 years now.
Yeah, 11 long years.
Oh, God. Not quite 11, but God, it feels like longer. You look better than ever.
Thank you.
Where does the time go? I'm joined...
What am I doing here? Are you not going to tell people what I'm doing here? Have you not got a cheat sheet on what I'm doing here?
I'm going to figure it out. Okay. We're going to get to the bottom of it. But we have a quick call, or it could go on for forever. I haven't decided. My partner in crime, the brains behind the operation, holding it down in New York City, Mr. Chris Gersbeck. Chris, are you there?
I am.
Chris, can you guys hear Chris?
Yeah, yeah. Big time, yeah.
Ian Smith is here. Can you hear
me? Hi,
man.
Oh, well, this is going great. Yeah, and Harry Deansway. Just four dudes chatting away like they're going to live forever. Chris, paint us a picture with words. What's going on where you are?
I'm sitting in my apartment drinking coffee and trying to find out why my air conditioner is not working.
That's a really good story. You should tell that on The Moth.
I know.
That's a really great joke for people in America.
I sent that to you earlier today in an email to get your feedback on it, but I knew you were busy.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm an international.
Would you like me to translate what The Moth is? It's like a really pretentious storytelling night, basically.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, so I'm saying that.
It's a storytelling. I've done The Moth. It's a great show. But, you have to have
it's got a vibe.
It's a serious show. There's humor and pathos. But anyway, let's just keep moving. I don't know. Whenever anyone tells a story that's not that good.
Yeah, I'm just translating it for your English listeners.
For the English listeners, yeah. Not that Chris's story wasn't good. I couldn't beat it myself, even though I'm hosting an international radio show right now.
Had a cliffhanger at the end.
It did, right?
I guess, what's wrong with his air conditioning unit?
Yeah, yeah. It could...
Yeah, I probably just have to clean the filter. I haven't done that in about 4 years.
Okay, see, that's how you get booked on The Moth. Mm. There we go.
Conclusion.
Conclusion.
So what's in there. That's what we're all waiting to hear. What?
I talked... It's nothing good, I'll tell you that. It's human flesh.
Pubes. Bees.
Pubes, bees.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. That's good, Ian.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's basically those three things.
Pubes and bees, one of the great combos in life. Mm.
Pubes and bees. I'm with my all my showbiz money, I'm opening a pub called Pubes and Bees in Kettering.
I think I'm doing quite well on the show because they've just moved the mic nearer to my mouth. So that means
people are listening. Yeah. That's like a good sign. In radio, that is a good sign.
Yeah. Someone just come in and move mine a bit further back.
No, that's Ian. We want to make sure. Ian, I don't know why you didn't mention this sooner, but you were the Amused Moose Comedy Award People Champion 2017. Why? Talk about humble. How did you not bring that up?
I don't know. I guess part of me must have been afraid that some people might think it's a meaningless accolade. I don't know why, but sometimes I get
There's
scared.
No such thing as a meaningless accolade.
Yeah.
Not in 2019.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, well, I'm the Amused Moose People's Champion.
Yeah, that means yeah. They love you on the streets. You don't not those bosses with their high dollar call girls and cocaine and whatever else. The people on the streets. Where are you from, Ian?
I'm from Goole in East Yorkshire.
This is now you're just making stuff up. Where Goole?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
G-O-O-L-E.
Goole.
Yeah.
G-O-O-L-E.
We elected an 18-year-old boy to be our mayor.
I love that. You make that sound like he's like just sitting in a soiled diaper rubbing pudding on himself.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't know.
Wait, Chris, are you okay?
Chris is on the move.
Chris?
It's clear.
Yeah, it's kind of cutting in and out.
So. Oh, geez. We got... It crackled. I thought you were making noises because... in a passive-aggressive move to remind us that I haven't, you have not been addressed directly.
Yeah.
And look, it worked. I mean, completely derailed Ian Smith's ghoul story and the 18-year-old boy wonder mayor.
All I did was chocolate.
What did he do?
Chocolate? I had chocolate.
He had
I think he said, all I did was chocolate.
He chuckled. Why did they elect an 18? Is it just be like, this will be, let's see how this goes?
I think they thought it was like a good PR exercise.
Well, I know about Ghoul now.
Mm.
So it's...
Yeah.
The power to the people. So is he really going to be mayor? Like show up for mayor work every day?
So he was mayor, and then he ran to be like the MP in the general election. But he didn't win.
He got greedy.
Yeah. But now he's just graduated from university with a 2-1 in politics and English.
Is that good?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd say no if you want to be an elected politician. You'd want a first, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
It sounds like his life is over, basically. He burned bright. He flew too close to the sun.
Peaked too early.
Yeah.
This story of my life.
Not story of my life. Reverse of that.
We're still waiting for you to peak. And that excites me.
Start the ascent. We're still waiting to even start the ascent.
I feel like I might still be on the ascent. I go back and forth.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there's the ghoul mayor.
Oh, yeah, Terrence.
He looks like 60 years old.
Yeah, he does not look 18.
Yeah, but that's because he's got the intelligence of a 60-year-old man.
He does. No, he looks great. Gosh, he's not shy about adornments.
Oh, yeah, old mayoral chains.
Are you related to this guy, Terrence Smith?
No, but I'm friends with him.
You are?
I asked him if I could shoot a web series sort of taking the piss out of my hometown while he was the mayor, and yeah, he just said yeah. So me and him just did a web series taking the piss out of the town.
Wait, he as mayor took the piss out of his own town?
Yeah, well, he was, I guess, stood next to me as I sort of vaguely took the piss out of it. He's quite funny. He's a very funny man. We're having some blue WKDs on the back of a badge you're not supposed to go on in a canal museum.
What?
It's the most English anecdote you've ever heard.
I didn't know it. Chris, did you understand any of that?
No, I need subtitles, I think.
This is very confusing.
What's like a cheap Alka-Pop in America?
A what?
An Alka-Pop.
Oh, that's like a WKD blue is a... So that's like, that would be something
it's
if
what
you
children drink when they first start drinking. Yes,
and it's when you die on the streets, it's the last thing you drink probably.
It's like, yeah, that's the spectrum.
Alka-Pop, I guess.
Children and homeless.
Do we have this, Chris, in America? I guess we do, right? Alka-Pop.
I don't think so.
Bacardi Breezes. Do you have them?
Yeah, we have that. I think.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, it would be something that wouldn't. I've never had, but I know it's a thing.
You're a classy guy.
Look at me. I'm drinking Lagunitas IPA. What was that sound?
That was you. That was feedback
me.
Through Chris's
feedbacking.
Phone.
Chris, what's... I'm going to focus on Ian and Harry and get to the tough questions. What's going on with the rest of your day?
The news show right now, and then... I got some errands to run. Exciting stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you. I know I speak...
It's a little weird not having you in the country.
I know. It's weird. And it gets... I'm going further away. I go to Poland next.
Sore subject.
So, why? You? No, you're coming. Well, we'll get into this. Okay, Chris. As Joe Franklin used to say, let's keep in close contact.
Okay.
All right. Have a great day. All right. I think we lost him. I don't know if we lost him. But his connection wasn't great. But, wait. Harry Deansway. Are you not coming to Poland with
him?
No,
I'm not going to come.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I couldn't get time off work.
That's when you quit. You just quit.
Wait, you haven't even guaranteed me a gig. Basically, you've guaranteed me a couch, and that's it.
I would have given you the bedroom. Or whatever. I don't even remember guaranteeing you the couch now that I'm hearing us talk about it.
Yeah, but you know, it's like I need to pay my rent, and a couch in Poland isn't gonna cut it.
Oh, you could make a lot of money on a couch in Poland if you play your cards right, Harry Dean's way.
Might be some coins down the side of it as well.
What's the Polish currency?
I thought it was euros, but it's not. It's something else.
Oh yeah,
they have their own thing.
Drachma.
So, can we run a check on Polish currency?
I want one of these screens that answers questions for me at home.
Basic life questions.
Yeah, it's just like
I need that all the time. Natalie, would you be willing to do that? Just always.
Oh yeah, the zloty.
Polish zloty. I'm gonna be. This is what's gonna happen. I'm gonna take out some zlotys at the cash point, the ATM, however you want to call it. And then I'm going to wind up with all these Polish zlotys that I can't do anything with.
Hot to zlot.
Hot to... Yeah, and then someone's going to hit me over the head with a bag of dicks or whatever. I don't know.
Have you got any cultural references for our
Polish zloty?
For our Slavic friends?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to be... Oh, yeah. Rapid fire.
I once saw three nuns skimming stones in Gdansk in Poland.
Like, really?
Skimming stones on a beach.
What were you doing there?
I was there as part of a youth theatre group performing in Zlotow, which is twinned with my hometown of Gaul.
It's like a sister city?
Yeah, yeah. So I was doing that. We had a day off in Gdansk. We're on the beach, and there's three nuns, and I saw them skimming stones, and they were getting like 7+ bounces.
That's pretty good for a nun.
Because I don't know where you practice if you're a nun.
Oh, they have a thing in the basement of the convent. They all come with them.
Yeah.
Ask around.
Oh, no, fair enough then.
My grandma was from Poland.
Mrs. Dean... Granny Deansway?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Minsk.
Beautiful this time of year.
Yeah.
I did a summer share in Minsk once. She's no longer with us?
No longer with us.
When did we lose her?
Physically, about 10 years ago, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I would...
Oh, sorry, I thought we were going to have a moment of silence for that. No. Not the time.
We will. No, we'll edit it in.
Okay.
We'll edit it in. Let's edit in the moment of silence. Mm. Let's make a note of that.
I did tweet that this was going out live, by the way. So if you get some angry... Oh, you're not on Twitter anymore because didn't you send a girl a dick pic or something?
No, I've never even framed up my genitals with a camera of any sort.
I'm hearing different stories of why you're not on Twitter.
No, I'm not on Twitter because I've been banned from Twitter for telling mother jokes. And this is a fact.
That's the spin, yeah. I mean,
but let's.
Yeah, I've heard something different. That's all I'm saying.
I've appealed it 5 times now. And they will not let me back.
I have to say, weirdly, I've been on Twitter a lot more since you were kicked off it.
Oh, yeah. The landscape has changed.
Yeah. Certainly.
They call it Idiot's Delight now.
Yeah. I didn't even realize anyone else tweeted because you were, like, just hogging up the whole timeline.
Yeah. Do you tweet, Ian Smith?
Yeah, but we were talking about this earlier. I deleted Twitter from my phone so that I don't
have you could focus.
A breakdown. Yeah, yeah.
Because you look, why? Because you get upset looking at Twitter?
Yeah, because I think, yeah. I saw it's horrible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. I have to say, as much as I'm, like, you know, for the record, would like to get my account back just to have it, not being on Twitter is the. I recommend it to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a. It's horrible.
It's like how it was. Before Twitter, yeah. Yeah,
good. I'm just walking around not being on Twitter and loving it. I mean, you know, people are really upset that I'm not tweeting. Oh, can't imagine. So upset. But let's get into it. I'm just reading. I've got a note in from Mum Insult. That means mom in America, North America. Insult from the Bible. King Joram is greeted by the rebel Jehu with a hostile expression concerning Joram's mother. When Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.
Fet, one of the most famous harlots in history, isn't she, Jezebel?
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty much, that's the original
she's
mother
the prototype,
joke.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about Jezebel.
I know that she's a harlot, and that's it, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and this is what I'm saying, like, that's in the Bible. I got kicked off Twitter for basically being biblical. If we can make a pretty easy leap that I think we all see.
Are you saying you're God?
No. I'm just a guy from Cleveland. Slightly larger than average generals.
You don't hear the name Joram anymore, do you?
Not enough. Not enough. Let's focus,
or
though.
Jezebel.
Or Jezebel.
Or Jezebel.
Well, she's got a terrible rap.
Mm. Oh, for too long. Wait, there's more. Shakespeare's mom insult in Timon of Athens, implying that a character's mother is a bitch. Painter, you're a dog. Epaminondas, thy mother's of my generation. What's she if I be a dog?
You don't get many Timon of Athens anymore, do you?
Not enough. No. These are solid. This is, so I'm biblical, I'm Shakespearean.
Hold on, isn't one of Gwyneth Paltrow's kids called Timon of Athens?
Oh,
probably.
Yeah.
While she's steaming her downtown real estate. I want to get Ian. We want to pack the Underbelly Buttercup.
Okay.
July 31st through August 25th.
I reckon we can do it.
5:15.
P.M.
P.M. That's at night, in the afternoon, early evening, however you want to look at it.
This afternoon.
It's your funniest and most personal show yet, part of a one-man show about halves, love, and a holiday to Chernobyl.
The press releases are always horrible.
I'm not reading from a press release.
Oh, is this something I've said? Yeah, probably.
You've been to Chernobyl?
Yeah.
You get around.
Yeah, me and my brother went on holiday.
You're like a dark traveler, sort of? Like,
I guess.
You didn't go to Cancun.
I don't know what that is, but
it's in Mexico.
But I'm up for going if
it's like Magaluf in America, basically.
Oh right, okay, that sounds right.
I would like to go to Cancun with you.
It's where they'll go for spring break and stuff.
Oh,
I've never been to Cancun.
What's its main what's the thing you have to do if you go there?
Get hammered, probably.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Get your tits
take out. Your top off. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go because of the electronic tag, or?
There's a lot of reasons I can't go to Cancun.
The dick pic on Twitter, has that got anything to do with it?
I've never framed up my... I'm a gentleman. I don't frame up my genitals. You can go through my whole phone. Not a single...
Okay, get
there's
out.
Some dog dick pics, sure.
I have to take my dick pics using the panorama setting on the phone.
Oh, man.
Bit of fun, isn't it?
Is that the sort of stuff we're going to hear in the show Half-Life?
No. This is my most personal show, yeah.
And funniest.
Yeah. I think you have to say that, though, don't you?
Yeah,
you can't say... This is probably not as funny as 2016. Yeah.
Not my best work.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Edinburgh. Not my best work. That's the other thing about... I was talking about this earlier. Another thing we don't have in America, like, no one does shows that are labeled work in progress.
Mm. Mm.
And I love that you guys can do that here. Because it's sort of like,
aren't all shows work in progress?
Yeah, pretty much all of them.
It's a bit cheeky at the fringe when people do a work in progress and charge, like, £15 still.
Yeah.
Probably... As soon as I did that, I thought, what a needless insult to some big-name comedians who are doing that.
Yeah, I'm an unnecessary work in progress. I'm going to do that.
You are a work in progress.
I am.
We all are. No?
I love how you've become more philosophical since you got a beard. I'm getting...
That's very Jungian, what I just said there. Very Jungian.
I know. I love that.
Eternal growth.
That's true. You know, he's not wrong.
Mm. No, I'm not disputing it.
You know, you're right, Ian Smith. Who's show Half-Life?
But we live in a society where sort of everyone has to be perfect. The ideal, yeah?
Yeah, the perfect cappuccino, the perfect night in, the perfect night out. All everything documented. I'm getting another note here. The first known mama joke occurred in 3500 BC. Is that right? What does the E stand for? Is that a typo?
Before Christ emerged.
Yeah, from Mary's. Researchers in Babylon found a tablet that featured a few inappropriate jokes revolving around beer, death, and mothers. Before the common era, before the current. Okay.
Beer, death, and mothers.
I thought Kiss, Cuddle, and Torture, Hempolix, was a good title. But Beer, Death, and Mothers, that might be a better title. Beer, we should form a band and call our record that. Maybe I'll do my new stand-up album be called Beer, Death, and Mothers.
Babylon sounded like a fun place.
Babylon. What went on there? What didn't go? That was like Sodom and Gomorrah with less butt stuff, right?
I've heard someone refer to a woman's breasts as Babylon's, and I don't think there's any other town or city name that's had that honor before. I don't think anyone would refer to a breast as any other place.
Bristol's.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Bristol's. There we go.
I can't even believe I came up with that. I was gonna say something else, then I was like, wait, actually, I have an actual real answer.
You've got all the lexicon for boobs, haven't you?
Well, it's, you know, I'm a man with time on my hands, since I'm not on Twitter. I've dedicated all the 2 or 3 hours a day I spend on Twitter is now...
Yeah, what's that being repurposed for?
Boob slang. Titties. Cantaloupes. Knockers. Jugs. Bobos. Bristols, Babylons, meat bags,
melons.
How far have I fallen? Jugs. I already said jugs, didn't I? With 2 G's or 1 G? I like to lean into it with 2 G's.
I think it's a bit more fun when it's 2 G's.
It is. It's, yeah.
Even if you're the only one who knows it's 2 G's when you're saying it.
There was a magazine. I don't know if there still is. I guess this could be Googled. But there was, Humpty Dumplings, Hardy Boys, Double Lattes, Ode to Joys, Hooters, Shooters, Physics Tutors, Bobsy Twins, and Bald Commuters, WMDs, MRAs, and PFDs, Snow White Dwarfs, Picasso's Cubes.
Picasso's Cubes is a great one.
Mm. Oh, boy. We should put make this like a dubstep track where we just say this over it.
I don't like Snow White Dwarfs. I don't really know. There's 7 of them.
Seven boobed women.
Knockers, that's
knockers,
a classic.
Knockers, yeah, knockers, sure.
That's just a good pull.
Jogging
from
partners,
you.
I like that.
Knockers, that's a classic.
That's
it's the 70s, it's England. Knockers.
Oh boy, life. I'm learning a lot here. Big Bad, how did we get on this?
Ian brought up
I said Babylon.
Yeah. Oh, Babylon's,
yeah. My fault.
Thingy get his hair cut off in Babylon?
Oh, what's his name? Samson?
Samson, yeah.
He got his pubes shaved off. What? How did this become such a lowbrow show? It's pants shitting, names for boobs, and pube shaving.
Have you seen your act?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Ian Smith, the show is Half-Life. It's your funniest and most personal yet.
Yes, apparently.
That's the chatter.
But I don't think... I wasn't personal at all in the others, so...
You weren't personal at all?
No, so I think it's just like one bit of personal stuff has made it. So that's all right.
People like personal stuff, which is why I feel like my career is where it's at. I don't get personal enough.
No such thing as privacy anymore.
No, people just give it.
Sorry to be so... Yeah.
That sounds like something a taxi driver would say. Just out of nowhere. No such thing as privacy
well,
anymore.
Well, it's true. It's true, I think.
No, you're supposed to put it all out there. Did you guys get any Oreos?
No.
No.
What happened to the fingers? There was a box
of
fingers.
Yeah, there was a box of fingers. Classic British.
Oh, I thought... Well, I was about to dedicate those 3 minutes to the fact that I thought Baby Lame stole the fingers. But I'm relieved to find that... Can you pass the fingers?
Baby Lame?
You missed out. Baby Lame is a drag queen who was here earlier.
Was she wearing face paint?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I'll tell you off air something about that.
Okay. Can you pass the fingers? Ian, did you get any fingers?
I had two at the very start.
I don't know. And there's probably nothing I should be admitting on air. I don't know if I've had a lot of Cadbury products. I don't know if I've had fingers.
Cadbury's is now, it's just owned by Kraft.
It is?
Yeah.
They're not an English company of high regard anymore? Or are they
no,
still?
No.
So I should keep beating them or no?
Kraft bought them a couple of years ago, yeah.
What do they do that is, are they evil?
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the most evil thing
just
they've
not,
done?
You know, it's just not as good chocolate anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh, so on just the scale of things, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean, quality is not as good as it used to be.
We have to go. We have 2 minutes left, right?
Oh, no one knew why I was here. You didn't do
Harry,
your
why are you here?
We've done your research on Ian.
Yeah.
Let's not waste this precious real estate. Harry Deansway, thank you for coming. Where can we see you next?
I've actually signed an NDA for the place I work, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ian Smith... The show is Half-Life, Underbelly Buttercup.
Mm.
If people don't go to this show a million times, they should go all the time.
Yeah, as long as they still are then enjoying it. Because I imagine if the same crowd just come every day, it would get... I think I'd find it tough towards the end.
Oh, yeah. They should go and come back a week later.
Mm.
Don't be weird about it.
Yeah.
Don't stalk the man. I'm Dave Hill. Thanks to everyone at FUBAR for having me. We have a minute. Oh my gosh, you can actually look and it tells you. I was like, how many seconds do we have? And they have that figured out for you too. One day, I'll understand how stuff works. And thanks, guys. Thanks to everyone. Thanks, Chris Gersbeck, for holding it down in NYC. Get tested, everybody. Good night.
FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, I'm Freddie Bentley. I just love the fact that you can just say what you want, when you want, and nothing's got to be edited or bleeped out. I feel like I'm someone that hasn't got a filter, so FUBAR is the place for me, huns.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.